As Frate Drohora said, I'm going to be having a sermon. It's going to be kind of in two parts because it's going to be a compare and contrast. So the sermon for today, I'll give you guys the name in just a minute. We're going to be talking about the names of God. And that's the introduction to the sermon for today. And then from there, we're going to keep going. So I started off and I said, what are the names of God that I know, right? And one of them is Jehovah Jireh, right? We have the story of Abraham going with Isaac. He's about to sacrifice him, and then God provides an offering. And so he names the Lord Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, right? We have other names for him, Jehovah Nissi. This is one of my favorite ones. The children of Israel are fighting. I think it was with the Amalekites. It's in Exodus 17, if you want to read it. It's a great story. And Moses is sitting there, and he's praying the whole day. He has Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. They're holding up his hands, and as they're praying, as he's praying, the children of Israel are fighting. And when he has his hands raised, they're winning. When his hands fall down, they're losing. And at the end of this battle, he names God. He says, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He's the one who goes before me. He's the one I look to. He's the one who gives me strength. When Gideon meets the Lord, Jesus comes, the Christophany comes before him, and he says, oh, you mighty man of valor, right? And Gideon says, dude, I'm not a mighty man of valor. And he comes, he brings a sacrifice to the Lord, and Jesus touches it, and he ascends to heaven, and Gideon falls on his face, and he says, I've seen God face to face, and I have peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. We have Jehovah Rapha, for the Lord is the one who heals us. We have other names of God, Adonai, which means Lord, and Elohim, which denotes a sovereign ruler or a judge. We have a mighty God, and it's great. So this was just some things that I had thought of as I was thinking about this. I encourage you all, as you read through the Bible, take note of these, all the names of God. They're amazing, and they're a great way to encourage ourselves. But tonight I want to talk about one that most of you probably don't know. And the reason why I say that is because it sounds different in English than in Romanian. So our base verse for today is going to be in Genesis chapter 31, verse 42. And just to give you the setting, if you guys want to open up your Bibles, Jacob ran away from his brother Esau. He lived in the land where his uncle was, Laban. He got married. He had kids. He became wealthy. And now he's going to go back to the land of his father, of Isaac and Esau, right? And as he's going, Laban catches up to him, and Laban stops him, right? And they have this discussion. And this is the setting that we come to, and Jacob is talking to Laban, and he's like, Laban, you've cheated me for the past 20 years that I've worked for you. And this is what he says. He says, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. And I want to focus on that. In English, so in my Bible, it capitalizes it. It isn't just the fear, lowercase, but it is the fear of Isaac, okay? So this is the title of my message for today, The Fear of Isaac. And yet when we look at it in Romanian, it looks a little different. Pe acela de care se teme Isaac. In English, it is another name of God, that he is the fear of Isaac. He isn't just the God who provides, the God who fights for us, but he is the fear of Isaac. That's one of his names. And yet the meaning is somehow different in Romanian. So we're going to actually look at this from both perspectives. We're going to look at it from the English perspective, and then we're going to look at it from the Romanian perspective. You see, the Bible, this is something that Frate Lazar said so long ago, and I love it. The Bible is a finite book. It's only this big. And yet it describes an infinite God. And the more we read it, the more we study it, the more we discover about God, about his character. And so that's what I want to do with you all today. So we're going to start off. Jacob is the one who's saying this. So what is Jacob talking about? What is this fear of Isaac that he's saying? If we flip back a few pages in our Bible, we get to Genesis chapter 26. And this is a story of Isaac as he was prospering after his father had prospered, he too prospered. He received the blessing from the Lord. In Genesis 26, we start off with verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I want to be like that man. In one verse, it says it three times. He began to prosper, he continued prospering, and he became very prosperous. I want to be like that, right? He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, a great number of servants, and so the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. They'd filled them with earth, and Abimelech, he's the king of Gerar, the king of the Philistines at this time, he said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. We can't stay with you because you're too great for us. So we see in the story of Isaac how God was the fear of Isaac, how God blessed him so much that all the people surrounding were able to see that God was with Isaac, that God blessed him. Later on in this chapter, Isaac digs up all the wells, and the Philistines, they make a pact with him because they're like, you have to stay away from us because you're so great. If you turned against us, you would crush us like nothing. But now, since we have this story, we have this story of Isaac, we can go even further back, right? Because it was saying about the wells that Abraham dug. So we go back. We go back to Genesis chapter 21, when Abraham did dig these wells. If we read from verses 22 to 24, it came to pass at that time, after he had dug the wells the first time, after Abraham had dug them, that Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his army, they spoke to Abraham and said, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you dwell. And Abraham said, I will swear. So it's interesting because Jacob has this story that he heard from his father about how God fought for him, how he became fearful in the land because the Lord blessed him. And yet we look even further back than Isaac and we see that he was the same with Abraham, that he is consistent, that he is faithful in what he does in his blessing. Also, because I was studying this and I was kind of curious, this story of Abraham, it happened, I don't have this one, but his father, Abraham, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, right? This is just some interesting stuff. When he was 140 years old is when Isaac and Rebekah got married. When he was 160 years old is when Jacob and Esau were born. And when he was 175 years old, he died. So Jacob lived for 15 years, not just with his father and his father's family and his father's, but he lived under the shadow of Abraham for 15 years. So he heard all of these stories growing up. It's very interesting that Jacob is not a very spiritual person, and yet he knows all of this history. And he is the one who says this God is the fear of Isaac. It's interesting to look at how this blessing carried on through the generations, but also this knowledge. But I want to keep going back even further. So this is this story that we just read right now about Abraham first digging the wells, first making a pact with the Philistines because they were afraid of him. And yet we can go even further back. If we go back another 15 years when he was 86 years old, Abraham has been called out of the land of his fathers, and now he's living in the land of Canaan. He's 86, and he's like, God, what am I doing? You said that you would bless me. You said that you would give me an inheritance and descendants, and I don't have anybody, right? He's only 86. He hasn't even had Ishmael yet. And God says to him that he's going to make a pact with him. So if we look in Genesis chapter 15, I'm going to skip through it to verse 12. Basically, God says, I'm going to make a pact with you. Take these animals, cut them in half, make a pathway between them, and I will come and I will meet you. Verse 12, it says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. In Romanian, cum se zice? O groază și o mare întuneric. I love that word, groază. It's just like, it fills you up with like, oh my gosh, this horror, this terror that Abraham felt at the presence of the Lord. It reminds me of the children of Israel when they get to Mount Sinai and they say to Moses, you go and talk to God. We can't stay before him. He's too great for us. We're going to be destroyed if we come close to him. So if we look at our verse, the fear of Isaac, from the English perspective, we see how truly he was the fear of Isaac. He was the one who blessed him so much that people were afraid of him. He blessed him and his father, and he was going to bless him too. And yet he was truly a fear, a terror to the people who were exposed to him. When Abraham met God, he fell upon his face because God was so great. There are some verses that I also wanted to throw out there from the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms has it so nicely in so many ways. In Psalm 18, David says this. He says, "You've delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts." So you see, even David, later on, he experiences the same grace that God is with him, and God prepares his path before him. If we look in the book of Joshua, when the children of Israel are going to conquer in the land, the two spies go into the city of Jericho. And this is what Rahab says to them in Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted within us. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Our God is a terrifying God. He is powerful in that sense, and he is the one who makes our enemies to fear before us. So we can trust in him because God is our defense. Now here's the second part, right? If we look at our original verse, Genesis chapter 31, verse 42, in Romanian it says, "Pe acela de care se teme Isaac." So it's a different meaning. Instead of just being the fear of Isaac, as in the one who goes before him and fights for him and makes the people afraid of him and casts out his enemies, it's also the one whom Isaac fears. And it's a very interesting thought. If we look in Psalm 111, verse 110, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I'm going to come back to that, but I love that. And it's like, it's a great way to start this and a great way to end this, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we look at Isaac, he's one of the few, he's one of the patriarchs, right? But he has like the smallest amount written about him. We know who he was, how old he was when he got married and had kids and stuff, and then how he blessed his sons, and that's pretty much it. But there's one thing that's very interesting about Isaac. I want to read you guys this in Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. "Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening." That says a lot. It's only one line, but it says a lot. We know Isaac went with his father to be sacrificed. We know that he knew of the promises of God. We know that he followed God. We know that he blessed his sons. And this is one of the only things that talks about his character, that he went out to meditate in the field in the evening. This man was a man who loved God, who spent time with him, who drew close to him as much as he could. He was not perfect, right? None of us are perfect. But he dedicated himself to God. He spent time with the Lord. And it's amazing that he does that. And I love that one thing. It's like one of the only things that it says about him, but it's so powerful. It's so meaningful who he is because of that. He spent time with the Lord. He meditated upon the word of God, upon God's promises to him. As we go forward from Isaac, we get to Jacob, right? And this is Jacob, whose name literally means to follow, to be behind, to supplant, circumvent, assail, and overreach, right? I wouldn't like to have that name, right? When I said, man, I would like to prosper like Isaac, but I wouldn't like to be called a supplanter and an uprooter and stuff, like, I wouldn't want that to be attributed to me. And I wouldn't want that for my reputation. And he meets God. We see just after he talks to Laban, he meets God, he wrestles with the Christophany, with Jesus, and then he asks for a blessing. And he gets his name is changed from Jacob to Israel, which means a prince with God. And it's interesting because we don't hear so much about Isaac, and we see Jacob, who's this supplanter, and he runs away, and he like does whatever he can to make more, to be prosperous, And yet God calls him a prince, and he is the one who recognized about the fear of Isaac. It's amazing, this redemption story that we see in Jacob in his life, how he goes from being a supplanter to being a prince. It's amazing how he experiences that. And when he comes back to the land of Canaan, how he truly does serve God with all of his heart. I also wanted to read some verses from the Psalms regarding this. In Psalm 20, verse 1, it says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." And in Psalm 24, verse 6, it says, "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." It's interesting that when we see these praises to God, they aren't the God of Israel, right? It isn't the God of the one who's a prince with God, but it's the God of the supplanter, the one who comes behind, the one who follows, the one who is not perfect. You see the redemption story? He goes from being the supplanter to being a prince with God, and yet God still calls himself the God of Jacob. Because he doesn't expect us to be perfect when he calls us. He expects us to be fallen and broken, and yet he wants to take us from being fallen and broken and lift us up to a place where he can truly say we are princes and princesses with God. I love that, again, that redemption story of Jacob. So, as I conclude this, I want to end with that psalm again, Psalm 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." And how does it end? "His praise endures forever." What better way to finish this? We learn about God. He's our fear. He's the one who goes before us and fights for us, who prepares our path before us that our feet should not slip, like David says. And yet he wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to fear him. He wants us to meditate upon the word of God. He wants us to spend time in prayer, to draw close to him so that we change, that we are transformed from being a Jacob, a fallen person, to being a prince with God, to being Israel. And then at the end, just like it says in Psalm 110, verse 11, it says his praise endures forever. As we are transformed, as we learn more about God, about how he is the fear, he is the one who supports us and leads us and guides us, and also that he is the one who changes us and makes us more like him, we want to praise him more and more. Again, that's why I wanted to start off with the names of God. He is our provider, he is our healer, he is our banner, he is all these great things. And as we draw close to God, as we fear him and draw close to him in fear, right? That's how we draw closer to God, and he transforms us and he makes us. So the second part of my sermon, which I will do at another time, it's the opposite. Not quite the opposite, but it's a contrast, right? So we start off with the fear of God, and then once we are with God and we learn from him and we draw close to him, how do we become fearless? So that's going to be the topic of my next sermon. And I want to encourage you all, as always, just like Isaac, that we would spend time, that we would meditate, draw closer to God, and that at the end we would be able to praise his name forever. Amen.